everyone, and welcome to the 15th, I don't know, how do you make a, oh yeah, just a five with your hand, 15th episode of OMG Craft. My name is Chad Johnson. I will be your host in this lovely episode, and holy cow, a big Minecraft cow, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about this episode. And just start off. If you missed us last week, or if you were missing us last week, which you should be because we didn't publish an episode, it was because it was the U.S. holiday of Thanksgiving. So the studio that graciously allows me to record my show it was closed for Thanksgiving, and there wasn't really a good time to fit in an extra recording into the schedule. So last week we were dark. I am so sorry if you wanted a show and didn't get one. Sorry, my apology. I should have let you know earlier that we would be not seeing each other for that week. Not seeing, like we're still together, you see, but anyway. So this week, holy cow, Minecraft Minecon happened in Paris in Disneyland. And so we got a ton of news to talk about. So this episode, we are going to cover just about everything that happened at Minecon so that you don't have to go through hours and hours and hours of video to get all the information you need to know about what happened. If you want to, you can, of course, check out all the videos yourself. And while we go through topic by topic, I'll be giving you links to the live streams that happened during the show. So look forward to that. But before, oh, and then, of course, after all that Minecraft news, there were three maps that came out in that same week span. Some were announced during Minecon, some were not. And so I'm going to cover those maps at the end of the show. But, of course, before we do all that, we need to get into a little bit of news. Now, this might seem weird because we're going to do news for the whole episode. And what better time to show off a new creation by Blender MF? So let's get straight into news. Of course, this was the first time we're doing this, so I wasn't quite ready. Let's try that one more time, this time with slightly less creeper. And you know what? It deserves a second viewing of how awesome this intro is. Check it out. Oh, and that would be our closing credits because I'm an idiot. In the news, Blender, thank you so much for making that awesome little intro for me. So, last week, 1.4.5 came out. All it did was cover a few more bug fixes, and luckily, this is for the normal game of Minecraft. We haven't gotten a Minecraft discussion yet, just to let you know. All this was a few bug fixes, and the cool thing about this is that it works with 1.4.4 servers. So are running a client or your server, which just got updated to 1.4.4. Don't worry too much because this client update can work with those older servers. Once again, only bug fixes, no really new things to talk about in terms of features or anything like that. It's just kind of a really, really small update for bug fixes. Now, into Minecon. Are you ready? Because it's going to be long, and we're going to talk a lot about all the awesome stuff that came out. So, bear with me. First, there were the opening ceremonies on, gosh, what day was it? It was Monday morning, I believe. I forget exactly which days, but it doesn't matter. It's already passed. So, during the opening ceremonies, Minecraft Girl got up and talked to us and showed off YouTube videos, and nothing was really announced. I do have to, slide aside, there were some pretty, annoyingly awkward moments during out the entire convention. So, if you go back and watch the live streams that are available, I believe it was GameSpot did a ton, and I think that was their live streaming partner, so everything was done through them. There are a few others. I believe that IGN has some archives of some other panels. But I believe that IGN was, or no, that GameStop, GameSpot, game, not the store, but the website, was responsible for all the streaming. So thank you for them for live streaming the event. So let me first get out of the way. If you go back and watch the archives like I did, pretty, there were some, anyway, that's all I'm going to say, is it was, there were some pretty awkward moments. So hey, luckily you're learning from me and not going through 6 to 15 hours of content. So first, once the opening ceremonies was over, the really cool thing was the Minecraft team sat down and talked about the future plans for Minecraft, and a few things were revealed. First, that in updates, they are going to be more focused on sort of specific aspects of the game. Because they learned through the very scary update and through the Halloween update that that focusing on a specific area really helps them decide and curate what should be pushed into the next update. Instead of just doing general absolute everything. So they mentioned that the first update, which will be 1.5 in the future, will hopefully focus on redstone and pretty much redstone alone. There may be some other small modifications to the game, but they're going to stay focused moving forward. And they're hoping that their development cycle will allow them to update around every 2 months, give or take how the team can handle it. So the things that this update, this Redstone update, are going to cover are timing problems. Right now there's a southeast bug that causes a few glitches which people have used as features for the game. So they're going to worry about timing. They're going to worry about updating mostly timing. I was going to say bug switches. So one of the things that updating the timing engine or creating less bugs and more features is going to create is some things that map makers have relied on in the past to create maps. One of these is being a bug switch, a block update detector. What you could do is, using the glitches in the game, you could tell if a block had been placed or removed. This is called a bug switch or block update detector. And some things like this that we use now may be broken in the future because of the behavior of how redstone works, and they may be changing that. And so that's something to worry about and to notice in the future. Luckily, they're telling us now, and they also know that we use a bug switch in our maps, and so maybe they will give us some other block or some other way to allow us to have block update detectors. The other thing is that redstone should become more analog in this update. What does that mean? Well, right now, if you have a redstone line, it goes for the 16 blocks and then it just stops. But anywhere along that 16 block line, it's just a yes or no sort of function. Even if you're at the 16th block, the furthest one away, it's going to power a piston, or it's going to give the output as either yes or no, depending on what state it's in, no matter how far away it is from the other blocks. On top of that, any input is also only yes or no. It's only on or off. That's how redstone works. It's either on or it's either off. And so in the future, hopefully these... what they are planning to make is that this will be more analog. So if a player, say, this is one of the scenarios that they mentioned, if a player steps on a block on a what are those called, pressure plates, then it might say give a stronger current than say if you maybe dropped a block onto it, or if a player in a minecart went over a pressure rail, then that would give a stronger signal than if an empty minecart went over the detector rail. So things like this could be used to say, detect if a minecart is full or not, or determine how far a signal is coming from one side to the other. This kind of worries me. And then I'll get to why I'm worried about it in the future. The other thing that they would be adding is a capacitor block. And this would work a lot like the repeater, but maybe you would be able to set how much current goes into the line. This capacitor block would repeat the signal, but there may be it may be able to take redstone current from one and add it to the other. And so the capacitor block may be... It would work for this analog sort of idea. Okay, first, all of this that I'm talking about is, none of it is set in stone. So don't get too worked up over all of these changes, because all of it could change. They could decide, you know what, this analog idea wasn't the best. So we're actually going to scrap it and move on, and everything's going to stay sort of digital on off all the time. So keep that in mind. The other thing that worries me about these changes is that right now there is a lot of redstone that has been made to work digitally. When you move from a digital version to an analog version, that's a big step. So say if a piston only gets a, like, let's say they call it an ohm, you know, just like that's the amount of energy. And at the start of creation, there's 16 ohms of energy, and at the farthest end of the line, going down each block, you lose an ohm of energy, and then it gets to the 16th block, then it's at 0 ohms of energy because you've moved 16 blocks. So say if you power a piston with only 1 ohm of energy, maybe it only fires for a small amount of time, or that, you know, doesn't work correctly. This worries me because right now we have all sorts of contraptions that don't work on this principle. They mentioned, and this is now me completely, like, this is my, you know, my imagination coming up with scenarios that they might use, is that they mentioned different ores. So maybe this new analog type of redstone, it would be really cool if it was, to me, this is not what they said at all, it'd be really cool if it was like now bluestone. You put down bluestone on the ground, and now this is the analog version of redstone. And you could have bluestone lines, and you could also have redstone lines. I mean, they could be green. I mean, they could be whatever color. I mean, it doesn't matter what color it is. That, to me, would make more sense. And then your capacitor block wouldn't be like, oh, it's just like a repeater. Well, it only works on bluestone, you know. Like, anyway, rainbow stone is what T2 is suggesting in the chat room. That would be perfect. And you just go down the line, and it's like a rainbow. Yeah, I like that. And then what other stone is after rainbow stone? You're out. So maybe I think they might stick with single colors until you know, maybe you could craft a rainbow stone block. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. Back onto what they actually said. They were talking about adding new ores to the game, and it may be that when you go to get these new ores in the game, maybe you have to go to the Nether. This was brought up when a person who was at the convention asked the question, do you plan on making more dimensions? And Dinnerbone said, well, we already have enough dimensions. And by dimensions, I mean a different Nether, maybe a heaven, or maybe a space dimension. And so he said, well, we already have the Nether, we already have the End, and then there's all, of course, the Overworld, which is what you normally play in. And we are thinking about using these dimensions more. So maybe this new type of ore can only be found in the Nether. Hey, how about just Nether redstone? It's already in the Nether's pretty red already. Maybe it'd be maroon stone, because the Nether's kind of maroon. Anyway, so it may be that you have to travel to the Nether to get new ore, because they were talking about adding new ores to the game. The other thing that they were mentioning a lot is future updates. So now this is pretty much just about everything that they were thinking about in the 1.5 release. And then they kind of ventured on into what is the future of Minecraft? Where are we going further than the 1.5 update? And one of the things they mentioned was retooling the rail. Rail is a very useful tool, and they mentioned some mods that use sort of tubes to transfer internet. No, I'm kidding. To transfer blocks from one side of the map to the other. And this functionality is already built into Rails, but it's not implemented very well. So they went on to describe maybe having rail carts that could link together better, that implementing the furnace cart, which can push carts along better, maybe using ways to use the chest cart and make all of that more seamless to use in your game. One of the things that would make this better was what they called allocators. And there are mods right now that use sort of an allocation system that when something passes by, you know, you say you have point A, and then this allocator will grab those blocks and then move it to point B. And they were talking an awful lot about doing something like that to help transport blocks. It was funny because the thing that they said was that we just need to think of a better name. We don't like the allocator name. We want a better name than allocator. Some other things that they mentioned were a daylight detector, so sort of like a solar panel that could tell if it was daylight or not. This would maybe lock up your house when it's nighttime so mobs can't get in, things like that. And then in the question and answer portion of this panel, they said that no new mobs were planned and that they weren't quite sure what a redstone block would do. It had came up that perhaps there was going to be a redstone you could put, you know, in your crafting table 9x9 and create a redstone block. And they had mentioned that, yeah, we've thought about it an awful lot, like sort of like just go back to the recipe, like you can do with lapis, or you create a lapis block or an iron block. And they just didn't know what they would implement that for. There were a few, right before I jump into more of the Q&A stuff that they talked about during that panel, they had talked about the update being, the 1.5 update being around the new year. And what they had hoped to make were fireworks, so that on New Year's Eve you could shoot off fireworks in your world, which would be really, really cool. These would be non-destructive. They would just be for show. And that was actually kind of funny because the crowd kind of like perked up and was like, yeah, fireworks, that's what I want to see. And Dinnerbone was like, really? We just talked about like redstone updating, like all this hard work, and fireworks? Fireworks are what you guys cheer for? Okay, fine. So let me run through the Q&A stuff real fast. I have a list right here. And let me just burn through this, and then we'll get to future with the mod API. They're going to stay with Java. They're not going to move clients. They are hoping, and by clients I mean programming structures, they do hope to roll out a new client. Right now, the client that you use is that login thing. They want to come out with something better that could use that you could maybe set parameters and you wouldn't have to use Optifine to help your game run better. A new client would be really nice and appreciated. Future with the villagers, maybe there will be an AI programmer that will help villagers create quests for you, so you could go to a villager, get some quests, go do that thing, maybe bring a block back to them, maybe bring an animal back to them, or maybe kill something, you know, defeat the wither or whatever. There was a question about vertical half slabs, if you could maybe put half slabs vertically. They said, probably not. Let me jump through some of these because I don't want to cover all of them. Maybe pigs would be able to carry items with saddles, with you know, holders on the saddles, and that they were happy with that you could only really find saddles in the dungeons because they kind of wanted to maybe add some more things to the dungeons. waypoints on maps, maybe pets and multiplayer, maybe, but that would probably be covered in the mod API. Let me run through torch controls to play with a keyboard and mouse. It works better so that you could like choose which torch thing comment, and I'm gonna say. And then lighting bugs will get fixed someday. The original fix by Dinner Bone caused way too much lag. Okay, so that was it for the main big future of Minecraft panel. We still got one big panel to get through, and then I'm going to cover a few more smaller things, and then we're going to get to the end. So thanks for sticking with me so far. Next, coming up, they had the future mod API panel. Let's say 15th. Okay, 15th on the list. This is another thing that nothing is set in stone, so everything that I'm mentioning here could easily change in the future, but it gives us a really good glimpse of what is coming in the future updates. First, plugins will be loaded on a per-world basis, so you will not do what you do now, or when you install a plugin, it affects all worlds, all servers. So if, say, one server needed a specific plugin, you have to install that on your client, and then when you launch that server, the server would work with it. But if you jump into a different server and it doesn't understand that plugin, it just wouldn't work, or maybe your game wouldn't, you know, load correctly. So this is on a per-world basis, which is very, very good. Also, your plugins will be listed in the server information. So, sort of right now, like when you connect to a server, you can see that it's a 1.4 server. You can see that it's a 1.3 server. Well, it should show you which plugins are available on the server. When they mentioned that actually kind of worried me a little bit. It seems like a good idea, but the things that you could run into is if there's a vulnerability in a plugin, you could quickly do a search to find out which servers are using that plugin and then just go hack that server. That seemed like something that we wanted to do on TwitCraft early on in the days. You could just type in /plugins and see what plugins we were running, but we quickly just realized that that is a dumb idea. So I actually kind of hope that Mojang doesn't implement this. I would rather have it that it was secret and that it just kind of happened. But they also mentioned that I'm now remembering the second part of this. They said that when you join the server, it's going to tell you, you know, what plugins, and then ask you if you want to use these plugins. So it would allow you. It wouldn't be a stealthily installed thing that would happen. So I'm remembering that now, so I may have to take back the whole don't show me what plugins. Hopefully plugins will just not be hackable. That's the other thing, is now with the API, it is much more ingrained into the actual game of Minecraft. So it's kind of a different way to think of a mod, because this is, instead of all mods right now, are hacks on the game of Minecraft. They're all hacks. None of them are approved by Mojang. So it's kind of a different way to think of it. So maybe I just haven't wrapped my head around it quite good enough. So the main idea is that when you join a server, it's going to tell you which plugins to download, and then it's going to download those plugins and install them onto your world from a centralized server that is run by Mojang. Part of the question was if you have a whole bunch of plugins out there, are the people who are running the server going to be responsible for giving you those plugins and keeping them up to date? Should there be a different service that gives you these plugins? They have to be downloaded from somewhere. And so they put to rest that all of the official plugins will be downloaded from Minecraft servers, from the Mojang servers, to play on your client. Now, they still left open the possibility that you can go to a website and download them manually and add them manually to your game, which sounds really good, because it keeps it open for just about everyone. Most users are going to go to a server. They're going to download what is available for them just straight offline. They're not even going to know that it comes from a centralized database of plugins, and they're going to be super happy with it. But the pro users can go use specialized mods that may not be up on the Mojang servers or maybe haven't been approved or super in beta. Who knows? You know, maybe they're their own sort of little snapshot worlds. Also, let me check my notes. Minecraft repository. You can select plugins to find. They mentioned that in single player, you would download these and you would decide which plugins are going to run on your single-player world, and then you just play your single-player world. But on multiplayer, you would be able to define these on, if you're a server admin, in the server properties file, which was good, because you need to give admins some sort of way to access this. Also, developing the plugins would be in Java, and they would they still need to publish the API interfaces. Changes. One of the big really cool exciting things about all of this is that they should be able to make these plugins based off of specific aspects of the Minecraft game that shouldn't change from version to version. So right now, whenever there's a new version of the game, all your plugins have to be rewritten because they're based off of, they're just sort of looking at the source code of all of Minecraft. But in the future, you should be able to write these plugins so that when you update your Minecraft game, all it points to is all the old stuff that hasn't changed in Minecraft, and all your plugins should work just the same. They should work perfectly every single time. That is the hope. So this means that because you can sort of install a plugin once and it'll work forever, they are going to give the development teams who make these plugins sort of no way to give beta access to users. They're going to rely on those devs to give out their own snapshots based off of their code that they're given, and then they can test their bugs sort of internally. There's not going to be a beta infrastructure for those developers. And the other cool thing, this was actually really, really exciting, is that textures are now different. Right now, if you go back to the Make Your Own Texture Pack tutorial, you know that most of the textures are in one gigantic PNG file. It has everything. It has every block. It has the melon block. It has the iron block. It has the ores. It has everything. But this is going to be changed in the next update, hopefully. So instead of having this one big gigantic texture pack sort of file, now every block is going to be given a single texture pack for every single block, which kind of is what I expected was happening, is that the dirt block has a dirt PNG that it looks at, and that is the thing that it uses to create the dirt block. And this is what is going to be, and then that's in a file somewhere that you could go edit yourself, which is what they are saying is going to happen. This gives us a few really, really cool things that you can do with these PNGs. One is that you can animate them. So the PNG data can have animations. They showed off the sort of circular smoothstone block just sort of glowing back and forth, and that the nether portal that was sitting over there was animated using this new type of animation technique. Right now, all the animated blocks in Minecraft, it's sort of base-coded into the game which blocks specifically animate, and no other block can animate. So now, if you install a texture pack, grass could be animated. You could have sand that sort of does little wavies every single time. You could, I mean, sky's the limit. You could have Technicolor crazy disco lights if you wanted on these texture packs, which is you know, really exciting. The other cool thing, this is probably the coolest thing, is because they're using that technique, now the base version of Minecraft, vanilla Minecraft, will be able to run high-definition texture packs. It'll be able to run 64 by 64 pixel texture packs pretty much as you give it, which is very, very, very exciting to me that I will not have to install, say, Optifine or use Mod Loader or anything like that to be able to use HD texture packs. Very, very exciting. And then that's about it from the this is a good, just a short copyright note. Authors can't sell via the repository, the centralized repository. They can link back to donation pages or their own website that has the donation links or ads or whatever. And also that the there's no really patenting. There's no real ownership of exactly what mods you give. So a good example of this is the Dota mod for Warcraft. For, I want to say World of Warcraft, but that's wrong. That other thing. So that was supposed to be owned by Blizzard. But then, like, Steam was kind of like, bam, I'm Valve. I'm just going to take that from you. And so Warcraft 2, that's right. That's the reposter says in the chat room. So same sort of thing. No, actually, different applies. This is not owned by Mojang, and it's not even owned by you. So if you come up with a really, really compelling way to play Minecraft that's not copyrighted, that's not really owned by anyone... well, copyright still applies, but the version of the game is not going to be owned by Mojang or really even by you. So it's just kind of, it's not exclusive to Minecraft. It's not exclusive to the Minecraft platform. So good thing to know if you are a plug-in developer. Some of the quick Q&A things are, will the API be focused on the game world or the server? All of these APIs are both used for server-side and client-side. That was answered a few different times. What would happen if you had mods that relied on other mods to play the game? So say there was maybe an inventory mod, and then there was a crafting mod that relied on that inventory mod. That's just going to have to get worked out amongst the mods that you installed, or the plugins that you install. And they're really, if say you have one plugin that maybe changes the gold block to be a different texture, and then there's a different plugin that changes the gold block to a different texture, and they kind of compete for that sort of thing, that's just going to have to be worked out amongst the mods, amongst the plugin developers, to sort of just work itself out. So, and then it'll also be possible to rate plugins based off of you know, how much you enjoy them, and you can report plugins that are either broken or inappropriate or anything like that. And my favorite question, and this is a sarcastic, this was my favorite question, was why does Minecraft use blocks? And seriously, bro, just because the game is made out of blocks. He got up and was like, why did you make Minecraft out of blocks? And like everyone, you just wide shot of the panel, just everyone was just like, because blocks are cool. Geometry, bro. Okay, so that wraps it up. Those are the two big panels that I wanted to cover. There's a whole bunch of others. If you want to check out the future of Minecraft for the PC, you can head over to omgcraft.com/go/minecon-pc. If you want to check out the modding API stuff, you can go omgcraft.com/go. That's a capital G in that go. Go minecon-mod-api. The other things that were some of the other bigger panels were the fireside chat with Notch. You can go to omgcraft.com/go/minecon-notch, and the Minecrack panel /go/minecon-minecrack, and the Fire UK map builders map building panel. That was just really cool to it was just too, it was, that was really neat. I really enjoyed that one. Is at go/minecon/-map. And on the fireside chat with Nat, with Notch, fun fact, is, why zombies drop feathers and why Notch wears, the hat. On the Minecraft panel, fun fact is, for fans of the YouTube Let's Plays, who are on the Minecraft server. And, you know, fun bits about the Fire UK is, it's all about the crazy map building that they do. A few more things. There are new Minecon capes. So if you are in a server and you see these new wonderful capes, you will know that these people attended Minecon. Lucky bastards. And also, it was brought up by who was it? Generic B, that he wanted nether half slabs, nether brick half slabs. And so Jeb tweeted out that, hey, check this out. You got some nether brick half slabs, Generic B. So enjoy your half slabbing around. So finally, we are done with all of the Minecon news. I know it was harsh. It was difficult. It was a lot of talking. But don't worry, it's over. On top of that, if you want to check out any of the live streams that I mentioned, you head over to omgcraft.com, and this is episode 15, so omgcraft.com/15, and you'll be dropped right into our show notes, where we'll have links to all of the live streams of the event. So have fun with that. On top of that, you didn't have to watch 6 hours of live streaming, and I did, so hooray for you. You just got all of that, like, what, wrapped up in 30 minutes? Awesome. Now, let's move on to a few maps that were shown off or released or done during the week of Minecon. These are my top three picks of this week. First is a new TF2 map done by Seth Bling. Hooray, Seth Bling. And so this is done by Hypixel and Seth Bling. Just like the other, it requires no mods on the player side. You can select your player, and now this is just a new, it's practically a map pack to use in the game. Before, I forget the, what was it, Dust Bowl, and I forget the other name of the maps. I should play Team Fortress 2 more. This one is based off of 2 Fort, and you can steal the right under there's a tunnel. And you get intel. Blue has intel. So anyway, this is exciting that there is yet another Team Fortress 2 Minecraft map. Thank you, Hypixel and Seth Bling, for making that possible. I always really enjoy those. And that was announced at Minecon
which was kind of cool. The other thing is that the Kingdom of the Sky 3 was announced, and they showed a trailer. So here is the not quite yet. Oh man, I hate ads while I'm broadcasting. Not really any other time. So here is that looks super exciting. And epic, and over 12 hours of gameplay. He's trying to make this have its own quests, have its own characters. I mean, just some pretty. Oh, and yeah, it would be modded, so it would have its own items and weapons. I mean, just very, very, very exciting. It feels like it's Skyrim for Minecraft, pretty much. So get ready for the Kingdom of the Sky 3. This is done by Blame TC, Blame the Controller. So epic. So he mentioned this during his panel and then put up this YouTube video from Minecon. Very, very exciting. That's a freaking wolf and a freaking pirate ship. And a never-before-seen texture pack. So, get freaking ready. It's like the game of Minecraft is now another game. So, get excited for that. Finally, I'm actually going to get to play this one because TF2 is kind of a multiplayer thing, so I didn't want to play it. But Disco released Sonic the Hedgehog for Minecraft. So let me go ahead and show this off a little bit, and then I'm going to go ahead and try my own hand. It's Sonic the Hedgehog in freaking Minecraft. Really, really awesome stuff. You know what? Let's not even watch. You can jump around. You get to use the springs that are in Sonic and all sorts of stuff. And then I want to test. Of course, he's really good, but you can see at the end here he gets the time of 1:28. I'm just going to pause right there. Realize 1:28. I'm going to try to beat that, and I'm pretty positive I'm not going to do so well at that. But let's go ahead and log in and test this out. Oops, I hit that wrong game. So I went ahead and downloaded it. It's just a single-player world. And here it is. You start off sort of in this other little area this is part of the map, but you can sort of see that this is a start area, so you're kind of you spawn in this sort of second area. So let me go ahead and walk over here and hit the start button, and then it'll teleport me and drop me, and I get these boots. I'm going to put on my Sonic shoes with feather falling 10 protection, 10 blast protection, unbreaking, and it has been dyed to be Sonic colored. You also get a jump boost and speed 2 and then resistance. And so what you do is you jump over here. I'm going to turn on the timer, and then I'm going to go ahead and start the game. And then over here you're going to have a little countdown. And there we go. Now let me make sure I'm sprinting. I'm going to go ahead and jump. I doubt that I'm going to do as good as Disco. Ugh. I wish I had music during this. Bow, 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 bow. And then tip is... Ah, crap. So if you jump right there, you should... Whoop, and that didn't work. This gives you a little book so you can read some tips, but of course I've already done that, so I don't need to miss that first jump. That's going to cost me. The cool thing is that you jump 2 blocks in height, so there are a few jumps that you feel like you can't make, but you actually can. Here's checkpoint 2. It uses the beacon block to so you can see where you got to jump next. Ooh, crap. Ah! Oh, no! Crap. Let's see. Obviously, I need more practice. I can... No, I can't. I have to swim all the way over here to the... to the stairway to get back up. This has happened a few times. I'm not so hot at hitting those jumps right perfectly. But you can see this is two blocks high, and you jump right above them. And that's where you're supposed to land, and obviously I didn't land. Oh, a cool tip is if you land correctly... Yeah, oops. Oop, I don't want to get caught. There we go. And then jump. Ah, crap. Ah, I didn't make it. Yeah, I'm totally going to beat his time of what? A minute and 28 seconds? Totes. This is going to be easy. It's going to be really gonna piece of pie. I think it's already been like 3 minutes. There we go. Ah, come on. Yeah, that's right. And I have a little bridge here. Pro tip, if you jump over there. Yeah, there's three. That's where I need to head next. And... yeah! Where's my next beacon? Oh, it's over there. There's the beacon. Can I make it? Can I make it? Nope, I can't. Aw, crap. Well, let's do this. And over here. Oops. I have to get to the top of this. Also, I'm trying to time my jump. Oop. Nope. There we go. Woo! I knew I could do it. And I really don't want to fall here, so I'm staying on those. And where do I need to fall? There we are. Ah, crap! Oh, no! Ah, well, I went backwards. My plan backfired. And I'm just like Sonic, right? I mean, Sonic had to swim in the water, too, right? Right? Yeah, yeah, that's right. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Yeah, woo! And then here's the doctor, and just go straight through. Here's this little, I don't know what you call that thing. And almost done, checkpoint 5. And on to the end. Beep, beep. Yeah. I got 4 minutes and 5 seconds. I mean, that's practically the same, right? Like almost exactly, I mean, just 4 times what he did. So then, of course, you can start it again. And it teleports you back over here to start. Gives you the same things. And you can start your game again. Very, very cool. So that is Sonic the Hedgehog by FV Disco. I would really, really suggest that you check it out. It is a lot of fun, and you can play that with your friends, compare times. There's even, if you check out, there's a row of frames so that you can find things in the world. There are different unlockables, not really unlockables, but hidden items throughout the game. I found a emerald when I was running around, and you could add it to the bottom of your thing. There's even a record book, so if you had it on, say, a server, you could keep, you know, high score, low score, that sort of thing. So anyway, thank you guys. That was what was that? FV Disco's Sonic the Hedgehog. And that wraps up this show. I want to give a huge thanks first to Blender for making that freaking awesome news segment. And then, of course, T2 and Cheeto helped a ton with this episode. Of course, They were the ones making up all my notes. I mean, they are always just the most epic people who always help out with this show. So always, if you see them on a server or anything, give them a little bit of love, but not too much love, because it can get, like, you know, not too much love. Not that you need to love them less, but love can be annoying. Love hurts sometimes. And don't spam their Twitter accounts or anything. That's all I'm asking. Thank you. Like, Blender just said in chat, the doc this week was ridiculous. Like, I just, like, quickly, just check out this doc right now. We had the intro bumper, all of the notes. They were, as I was mentioning things, graying out other stuff. And then, of course, my three picks. And that about does it for this episode of OMG Craft. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We will see you next week. Bye.
Swinging from side to side, side to side.